C1R.
Number 1B.
All right. We take another breath and start again with another point, and then little by little we bring them all together. I just start with the introductory paragraph to this chapter, which says that this chapter is from the first edition of the author's class book, copyrighted in 1870. After much labor and increased spiritual understanding, she revised that treatise for this volume in 1875. So I want to give you a little bit the historical sketch of this chapter, because it will help us also to see the content of it. You remember that when Mrs. Eddy began to see that she should teach students way back in 1867 to 70, she brought out a little pamphlet that she gave to the students. She didn't publish them at that time, which were questions and answers in moral science. And she gave those class notes to her students. Then she said in the textbook that from 1867 to 1875, copies were, however, in friendly circulation. So she felt at that time that what she had given as question and answer and moral science has not yet come to the point of maturity where she could print it. I show that in order to show that there is a process going on in order to form the system of recapitulation. Only later on, in 1870, she copyrighted it, but did not bring it into print. She just copyrighted it and had a few copies in the Congress Library. But it was not sold and therefore not brought into circulation. But later on, in 1870, she published the first booklet that somehow had a similarity with recapitulation. It was a booklet called The Science of Man. The Science of Man, by which the sick are healed, or question and answers in moral science, by Mary Baker Eddy, written for her students in 1870, but it was only actually copyrighted again much later, 1883. Then there were various earlier class notes of instruction in circulation, and if one reads those very early ones, one sees that they were still premature, because they were still talking about instruction for manipulation, wetting the hands in water and rubbing the head while declaring the truth. And so you can see that in those first attempts, it was very much still metaphysics or even Quimbyism that she was presenting. And only then, in 1875, see, about 9 years after her discovery, she was revising, really, that little booklet on the science of man, and brought it up to some kind of a form that is rather similar to the present recapitulation. So she revised that, but the first edition of Science and Health had already appeared, so recapitulation, or the science of man, did not belong to Science and Health at that time. Then, later on, in 1878, she brought out the second edition of Science and Health, that Noah's Ark edition, perhaps you know that. And she wanted to incorporate recapitulation in that edition, namely into Yeah, she wanted to incorporate it into Volume 1, but Volume 1 did not appear, but only Volume 2 appeared with a lot of printing errors. So that only in 1881, see, quite late, she incorporated the science of man now as recapitulation in the third edition of Science and Health. It was Volume 1, Chapter 4. You can see she put recapitulation rather at the beginning of the textbook and not as we have it now, nearly at the end of it. Actually, one would feel, well, that was very natural, because why shouldn't she write at the beginning of the textbook, somehow show the whole system of Christian Science, and then afterwards explain that system? But actually then she changed the place of that chapter in 1902 to the place where we have it now. So, the text of recapitulation, that's why I gave you this short historical review, the text of recapitulation is, so to say, the teaching of class instruction by Mrs. Eddy. It is therefore, so to say, a reduced statement of the system of Christian Science. And so again we see here what we feel, namely, that here Mrs. Eddy would explain the system, the new system of reference. She goes on in that introductory paragraph and states the following, which gives us another clue to what we have to find in this chapter. She says that absolute Christian Science pervades its statements to elucidate scientific metaphysics. We have 2 points to consider. One is that absolute Christian Science pervades its statement, so that we see here that the teaching is done mostly from the standpoint of absolute Christian Science and not just from the standpoint of Christian Science. And second, that they elucidate what? Scientific metaphysics. Now, that term scientific metaphysics doesn't appear very often in her writings. Actually, it's very seldom. And so we should take an overall view on the meaning, say, of the levels of science and, in conjunction to that, on the various levels of metaphysics. If absolute Christian Science pervades the statement, we really should know what is absolute Christian Science, what is Christian Science. And therefore I give quickly an overall view of these standpoints. The standpoint of science itself, of divine science, of absolute Christian Science, and of Christian Science. I just give that for the sake that we attune our spiritual ear then mostly to the level of absolute Christian Science and Christian Science. But if we take the whole range, we know that Mrs. Eddy shows these 4 levels of science. Science itself. What is science itself? Science itself is always that standpoint which deals just with the infinite one, as a one, as a whole, as the infinite principle, conscious really only of itself, as the one and only. So if you take that short statement, I think you get the tonality of the science level, namely it is that level where consciousness is only contemplating from the standpoint of the infinite one, which is the infinite principle, conscious of itself and only of itself as again the infinite one and only. And you can see, so to say, this is the highest concept where we are not asking anything about man and the universe and about body and about healing and all these things. We do not ask that. We only take the standpoint of God itself and say, what does God know about himself? What does the divine principle know about himself as the one and only? Or perhaps we could say, and to put it into different words, it is the infinite one that is forever interpreting itself to itself, not to the idea, not to man and the universe, but only to itself. So you can certainly gather the tonality there of science itself, that it is all, that it must always present things which concern God knowing himself. Now, these statements are very rare in the textbook, because you can't say very much about that, because that's so simple and so deep that there is not much to be said except that the divine principle, whatever that divine principle is as a synonymous term, only is conscious of itself. Mind conscious of itself, spirit conscious of itself, soul conscious of itself, etc., etc., etc. You know that from the level book. So I refer way back to the level book. Here I just want really to pinpoint the level. Or we can perhaps define the science level as saying it is that level where infinity is being considered as an indivisible whole. As an indivisible whole. And you get the sense, if I can express it with my arms in a gesture, you know, it is actually that level where God knows itself, or where God interprets itself to itself. It's like this. Yes. Then Mrs. Eddy uses quite often the term divine science, and therefore we must know what kind of a level divine science brings out, what the meaning is in divine science. And so we know that divine science now is showing really that divine principle in its threefold essential nature, as an ideal of itself, as life, truth, love, to be the divine principle love. Mr. Dolley defines it sometimes like this: in divine science there is one infinite principle including within itself the divine ideal or Christ. It is always the standpoint of oneness. See, science is the standpoint of the infinite one, and divine science, you would much more have that divine science as the all in all includes all in oneness. And you get the sense of all in all, you get the sense of a realm of ideas as the all in allness, that oneness is brought out, that principle and idea is one, whereas on the level of science itself, principle is just its own infinite principle, whereas in divine science, principle and its idea, but one, and you get the oneness sense that principle and idea are coexistent and co-eternal. So to say, in him we live and move and have our being. You get the sense of the oneness of being. That's divine science. Now, these are two levels that are not really touched upon in recapitulation. But just we notice them so to find then the level of absolute Christian Science by differentiation perhaps a bit clearer. We come now what to the level of absolute Christian Science. What is the level of absolute Christian Science? Well, in absolute Christian Science, John Dolly says, we learn spiritually and scientifically to compute the infinite relationship of principle and its idea. So whenever we come to absolute Christian Science, we don't consider just principle and idea being one in its oneness, but it's much more to see what happens within that oneness in a way of relationships. The most important relationship that we get in absolute Christian Science is to show how principle is related to specific ideas, not to the whole realm of ideas, which would be divine science, but to specific ideas. And you get, in a gesture that I make now, you really get the direction or the meaning, the relationship of absolute Christian Science. It's always like this, that from divine principle you see the relationship to the idea. It is this. And it's another relationship to the idea, and another relationship to the idea, so that finally we really see that ideas are also related to each other through principle, via principle, and therefore in absolute Christian Science you get a calculus of ideas. It is the computation of specific truths. So whenever we have that standpoint, we are demonstrating actually purely spiritual values. That's the preventive art of healing, really, that we solve also positive problems, and not just negative problems, positive problems. Without making a mistake, we solve problems. And so we find here the relationship of principle to specific ideas. Then, we remember now that Mrs. Eddy said that absolute Christian Science, this would be this, pervades its statements of the chapter recapitulation. That this very attitude of seeing how principle expresses itself as specific concepts or ideas, that is the main theme running through recapitulation. Naturally, in absolute Christian Science, we always find the absolute statements about something, the statements about the unreality of what is, about the reality of what is, because only ideas that come from principle have a sense of reality. And so absolute Christian Science pervades a statement to elucidate scientific metaphysics. Now, what is scientific metaphysics? I think we have to be a bit careful in Christian Science talking and writing that we use the term metaphysics properly. One can see that in the writings, in the Christian Science writings, in the periodical zone, that term is not used always rightly. Because we have metaphysics, we have divine metaphysics, we have scientific metaphysics as terms in the textbook. And they naturally will have to mean three different things. When she speaks about metaphysics, then she speaks about that which metaphysics wants to say, namely that which is above physics. It's that which takes the place of physics, which is challenging, perhaps, physics, which is resolving things into thought. See, it has all to do with that process of taking the place of physics by rising above physics. Now, that kind of metaphysics is naturally a metaphysics that is known all over the world. It is a department of philosophy and does not need to have any special relationship to Christian Science. Quite on the contrary, Mrs. Eddy, for instance, says that works on metaphysics leave the grand point untouched. They never crown the divine mind as the Messiah, meaning that really the works on metaphysics are not what Christian Science is teaching, because they are not teaching that kind of metaphysics which rises above physics to the point of divine mind. At the moment, naturally, we think out from the divine mind in a metaphysical way, then we would have to speak about divine metaphysics. So in that way, then she uses divine metaphysics, of which she says that it crowns really the divine mind as the Messiah, that it is the metaphysics of God, see, of God now, of the divine mind. She says that God is the divine principle. No, she says God is the principle of divine metaphysics. See, the moment we have divine metaphysics, it's always linked back to God, to the seventh synonymous term. Therefore, only that metaphysics which goes out from the synonymous term is divine metaphysics. That the basis of divine metaphysics, she says, is divine mind and explains matter away. It does not just rise above matter, but also explains matter away. Now, here in this introductory paragraph, Mrs. Eddy does not speak of metaphysics, nor of divine metaphysics, but of the third, namely of scientific metaphysics. Now, what is scientific metaphysics? That is now presented here in recapitulation. At the moment we introduce the term scientific, naturally we mean actually what constitutes a science and a system. So scientific metaphysics is that metaphysics which explains the system of ideas. And that's exactly what recapitulation wants to do, that it begins to explain the categories and the system of metaphysics, how ideas are related in the system to each other, and therefore are built into that web of, or that grid of the divine system of reference. So scientific metaphysics is really divine metaphysics reduced to a system, and therefore showing the relationship from one point to the next, and that will be shown in these question and answers, how they link together actually, though outwardly they don't seem to link together, just as the bananas and the fishes and the elephants don't somehow link together, but two and two link together. So that we can see here that Mrs. Eddy states the system of ideas. We can quickly touch on the level of Christian Science, after we have been showing absolute Christian Science as that which defines the relationship between principle and specific ideas. Christian Science now, so to say, translates absolute Christian Science further down to the human level. Christian Science has to do with the relationship of truth to error, no more with truth to its ideas of truth, but truth to its opposite of truth, to error. What relationship exists between truth and error? Is there a relationship? if there is a relationship, what is it? What is the impact of that relationship? Naturally, we know its impact then is healing and saving. So Christian Science, the textbook says, relates especially to science as applied to humanity. So the definition of Christian Science perhaps is very well given right here, that it is science when it is applied to humanity, to its opposite. The term Christian Science, Mrs. Eddy says, was introduced by the author to designate the scientific system of what? Of divine healing. See, the moment you have healing, it's a relationship to the human, it's a relationship to its opposite. Dolly says, the application of scientific metaphysics to the human problem is Christian Science. Also, he says, Christian Science is a scientific and metaphysical application of the Christ Science, which is absolute Christian Science, to human experience. So every time, therefore, when the relationship between the absolute and the human is shown, we know that thought is on that level of Christian Science. And therefore, many of the questions and answers that we have in recapitulation are actually from that level too. So to summarize the level of Christian Science, we could say it's that level of consciousness where it has to do with the relationship of truth to error, with the relationship of applying truth to the mortal existence, to human existence. Therefore, it's all that which has to do when that one intelligence is analyzing, uncovering, and annihilating false sense. It has to do with healing, with the resolving of duality, and with the improving of humanity. And you can see all these terms I have been quoting are actually not absolute terms. They are all relative terms and therefore belong to that level of thought.